Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
I'm going to talk about 10 minutes. This is a sermonette. I'm going to give you something to think about this week. Ready? Since the New Testament has been read, a couple of things about eternity have become very obvious, or at least interesting. And one is that when the judgment day comes, that there's going to be only two categories into which people fall. You read about this in Matthew chapter 25. In verse 31, it says, "Before him shall be gathered all nations." That seems to me to be very lofty. Not only in quantity, but also I'm so glad that I'm not the judge. I'm quite sure if I was, I would mess it up. I'm glad he's the judge because he always gets it right. Genesis 18, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" In verse 34 says, he's going to say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Verse 41 gives you quite a different view. "Those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 46 says that these shall go away into everlasting life, but the others into destruction. And so you only have only two groups of people. But that's the first thing. Now see, that's very explicitly taught in the scriptures. But also, since the beginning of the reading of the New Testament, you've had this question about passages which seem to indicate that there will be degrees of bliss and punishment. And that's a fascination. I don't have much time, so let me just touch on a couple of them. In reference to those who are the saved, I want to consider 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with you, beginning in verse 24. I knew a man one time who was at D-Day in Normandy on the beach there, June 6, 1944. I mean, he was there. He survived, and he was a faithful Christian, and he lived to be an old man. He outlived one wife, and he married him another, and finally went to his reward. But I suppose there's a difference between him and me, perhaps many. But one is that when I was growing up, we said the pledge to the flag at school every morning. You know, we would recite, public school, we would recite the model prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and we would say the pledge to the flag. And I suppose during my life there have been several occasions, ball games maybe, other events where we said the pledge to the flag. But I suppose that there would be a great difference in the way he would say that and the way that I would say it. The words would be the same, but of course his appreciation for it would be much different. When you go to glory, you're still going to be you. That's very important to appreciate. The essence of you is your soul. That's who you really are. And one day you're going to shed this mortal coil. You're going to die. The physical body will no longer be a suitable house for your soul. And you're going to go into eternity. And when that happens, and when you're in heaven, or hell for that matter, you're still going to be you. I'm still going to be me. That's very critical, because if it weren't that way, why would I care? If I was going to be somebody else, why would I care to live a faithful Christian life? But I'm not going to be. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be me. And one of the things I know about you and me is that we have different capacities to enjoy or appreciate things. If you and I went to an art gallery, might look at a painting, you know, and I would say, "Wow, that's beautiful." And you might say, "I don't get it. I think that's dumb." When you think about going to glory and you're with the Apostle Paul, I want you just to consider that just by at the face of it, there will be a difference in the way he appreciates glory and the way you appreciate glory. I'm not fussing about the difference in our lives. I'm just thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in 24. And he talks about the kinds of sufferings that he went through for my Lord. "Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice he was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked." Well, they dragged him out. They stoned him and dragged him out of Lystra, thought he was dead. I mean, all this kind of the pressure of the churches, the pressure of those who are without, all these kinds of things that it describes there. The point that I'm making is that when you look at some having a greater bliss in heaven, I would suggest to you that part of it has to do with the fact that we're different, and some will have a different appreciation, surely, for what heaven is than others. Shift gears with me. There are more explicit, plain verses of Scripture, passages, which have to do with different degrees of punishment. Let me give you an example of that. I'm in Luke chapter 12 now, beginning in verse 42. And then Jesus gives this parable, if I may paraphrase. A master is going to leave and leave his household and his servants and all that appertains thereto to one servant. He's going to put him as someone over the rest. And you have two scenarios, and one is that he does a good job of it. He takes care of all the master's possessions and his money and all the household servants, and he sees to them to make sure they're fed and clothed and properly cared for. And the master comes back and he's happy. The second scenario is not like that. While the master is gone, the one he put over the household, he abuses his master's goods. He decides that all of this, when I was 16 years old, I bought an old Dodge car. It was what I could afford. That was a great car, but that was my car, and I was very proud of it. But once in a while, my father would let me drive his new Chrysler, big Chrysler. It was a new car. Oh, it was great. And I can remember driving it and sometimes putting my arm out the window and pretending it was my car. It wasn't my car. I couldn't have afforded it if I wanted it, right? It was his car, but I got to drive it. When this servant was in his master's house, he began pretending that it was his house and that these are his servants. And so he abused them, mistreated them, and misused the possessions and wealth of his master. And when his master came back, I'm going to take up now with verse 47 of Luke 12. And that servant who knew his master's will, this is how Jesus wraps this up and makes application. The servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. I don't know if there's a clearer passage in the New Testament that indicates that there will be different degrees of bliss and different degrees of punishment, in this case, punishment. Let's do one more. This, again, is about punishment. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 2. And you're familiar with this. If after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a person who becomes a Christian. All right, he's escaped the pollution of the world, and now he's in Christ and he's saved. But they're entangled again, and they are overcome. You leave the church for a religion of men. You leave the church to become part of the world again. You leave Jesus Christ. The latter end of them is worse than the beginning. Well, now just let that soak in. I wasn't a Christian. The reason I became a Christian is because I was lost, because I was damned, so I obeyed the gospel, and now I'm saved. So I was lost, and now I'm saved, but now I live in such a way as to turn my back on the Lord. I want to go back to the world. I want to keep living like that. And now I'm lost again. Lost, right? I mean, one is going to go to hell, the other is going to go to hell. What's the difference? And he says, yeah, but the one who knew the will, who experienced Christianity and then turned his back on it, the latter end for him is worse than the beginning. You know what? I don't know any way around it. What that has to mean is that there's going to be a difference in the degree of suffering in hell. So, here it is. The conclusion of that is that these things belong to God. I'm so happy that He's the judge, and the judge of all the earth will do right. Frankly, yeah, if I can go to heaven, if I could just have the least place, if you could just give me a corner with a stool in heaven, I'm good with that. I'm really good with that. But the most exalted place in hell, just that thought fills me with dread to think I'd be there for all eternity. We're motivated to obey the gospel in view of the fact that the cross is the ultimate ultimatum. That is to say that only the way of the cross leads home. What is out there before us is known only because we have the scriptures. What information you have about eternity is because of what you know from the Bible. You've never talked to anybody who's gone and come back. I want to go to heaven. I really want to go to heaven. I know that you do too. There's somebody here who wants to obey the gospel. Repent of your sins and confess the sweet name of Jesus, and tonight we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. If you have been a Christian but have become unfaithful and you need to be restored, why don't you do that? Why don't you come back and be right again with the Lord? We'd be so happy to assist you, however, whatever your need is. Let's sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come now as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.